Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 1st, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 37, the first paragraph, which begins with whatever the precise definition, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the 12 Steps, Cindy K. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Darian K., Jordan L., and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, June 30th, the special edition, the 10 a.m. Eastern, or sorry, special edition is 13,096. That's 13096. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,098. That's 13098. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Kathy Jo P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Denise H. to read the 12 steps, please. Denise, we don't hear you.
I think it's Shelley E.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Shelley.
That's okay.
I'm going off two different things here. Sorry.
I was like, God, I got to find
something. Sorry, Shelley. Go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Cindy K., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Hi, good morning. This is Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri, a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. These are our 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Tradition number 2, for our group purpose, There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition number 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition number 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups of AA as a whole. Tradition number 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Tradition 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition number 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition number 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, AA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 37, the first paragraph that begins with whatever the precise definition, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So, Darian Kay, if you could get us started, please.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater, grateful to do service for this meeting. Whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. How can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight be called anything else? And so this is short and sweet. Plain insanity. You know, we've heard the definition of insanity, doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. And, you know, as part of my directions in the Big Book, I looked up insanity and found definitions of seriously mentally ill, madness, extreme foolishness, irrationality. And those, you know, I never equated that stuff with eating, but thinking back to all the times that I attempted, and that word is pretty strongly used, attempted, a diet or a pay and weigh program, I really thought that I was in, you know, a sound mind, and I was going to, you know, put my mind to it and do whatever I needed to do. And it lasted. It was so fleeting that I easily forgot the pain and desperation that I had going into whatever that plan was, that diet plan or that that mental plan. And it felt, you know, I fell off so quickly because I just didn't have that pain and desperation fresh in my mind. And that's what the insanity did to me, you know. I was thinking, like, the word thinking straight is really oppositional to the mental twist. I mean, straight, twisted, you know. So I really relate to the fact that my mind is twisted when it comes to food. And I think that I can have certain foods again, or I can do certain food behaviors again, or, you know, like we read, you know, in the previous paragraphs, you know, mixing things up or having healthy things, or, you know, whatever the concoctions are that we might think in our mind are not so bad, or a little cheat here and there, you know, just all these crazy thoughts, thinking that I can just get back on Monday. Today is Monday, right? Get back on that stick and do whatever I needed to do. You know, and just crazy, crazy, on and off, on and off, on and off. Doing our body such injustice by doing that over and over again. And so OA for me was the last house on the left. It was the thing that I needed to do that required a lot of work, but it also required me to have that pain and desperation. You know, it required me to want to stop that pain and desperation, and it did. And I'm so grateful for this program, so grateful for this meeting, hearing people on this line share every day how a day at a time they don't eat, they work the steps, and their higher power is leading them. You know, it's just an amazing, amazing situation we have here, and for that I'm super grateful. And I can't say anymore. Thank you. I'll just wrap up with, you know, I have sanity today, I have peace of mind, and I have clarity. And those are the gifts that we receive from doing this program. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Darian Kay. Okay, we're on page 37, the first paragraph. Who else would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene B.
Wait, sorry. Was it Eileen?
Irene B.
Irene B. Okay, and that's all I heard. Who else?
Devorah S.
K.
Devorah S. And who came after Devorah?
Stan.
K.
Okay, wait. Who had the initial K?
Stacy.
Stacy K. And then I heard Stan. What's your first initial, Stan?
Try Dan, D-A-N.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sandy W.
Sandy W. I can take one more.
Rebecca B.
Quiet. Rebecca B. Okay. And can you all check? There's some feedback, so I think someone's unmuted. So if you could all unmute, if you could all mute, press star 1 to mute, make sure you're muted. And then Irene B., if you could go ahead, followed by Devorah S.
Thank you so much to everyone who makes this meeting possible. Your service is priceless. We really appreciate to be able come here and learn what's going to get us sane. Because this paragraph, oh, by the way, I'm Irene B. from Louisiana, recovering bulimic and compulsive overeater since age 6. This plain insanity, this paragraph says it all. It says, how can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight? The inability to think straight is what they're talking about. In other words, yes, we have a twisted thinking. And yesterday's special edition was about basically the twisted thinking. It was the blocks to serenity, which is our crazy thinking. And I am so thankful for this meeting and
for the identification of what causes the buildup of human emotion that comes from crazy thinking. And until we can straighten out the thinking, we're going to stay crazy. And for me, the crazy thinking is not just the food. That's just my crazy thinking has to do with everything in life. I take things so personally. I get hurt. I stay in fear. Well, that's because of my crazy thinking, my crazy core beliefs that I've been trying to change for the last 40 years on my own through help through therapists and on my own and desperately looking for the way to untwist the thinking, and I hadn't been able to do it. But this program, the 12 steps, by the grace of God, it's helping me untwist my thinking. It works. This program works. And when we straighten out our twisted thinking, we stop hurting. So we stop having to medicate ourselves with food or alcohol or whatever the case may be, because we're not hurting, because we're not telling ourselves lies. And I am so grateful for this program that gives us the power to overcome the crazy thinking that we acquired in our formative years that causes us so much trouble. Because of our own power, we can't do it. I needed God to come into the picture. And I wanted to remove my character defects, and I couldn't do it. I needed a power greater than myself.
He has more important things to be doing than solving your problem of having too much food, just so you know. He has more important things to be worried about. You're really selfish. You know that? You're
time,
a very
time, please. Person. Irene, time, please.
Thank you.
So I just...
Irene?
Irene, ma'am.
It's Kathleen. Yes. Sorry. Okay, your time is up, so I'm going to move on, okay? Sorry
okay,
for the interruption.
Can I just conclude my thought, because the interrupter did
sure.
not allow
Go
me
ahead.
To finish my
Go
thought.
Ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm just saying that this program works because I'm not working through my own power, because there's a power greater than me that can help me change the thinking, because I am living proof that I tried for 40 years to change my thinking and I could not do it. But with this program and the steps, it is happening, y'all. It is really happening. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Irene B. Okay, Devorah S., you're up next, followed by Stacy K.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And thank you, everyone, who makes this meeting possible, all being here and moderator and everyone here on the line. So whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. And, you know, honestly, I really didn't know what how insane I was when it came to my thinking and my actions. And I just knew that I couldn't stop. And, you know, so but for the grace of God, go I that today, you know, I know it's all about my thinking, and the only relief that I can get with this thinking is developing and maintaining a relationship with my higher power. And I need to do this constantly on a daily basis. I need to be staying close with my higher power and make conscious contact. And because otherwise, you know, my thoughts could run away, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about, you know, just I'm entitled, or I'm, you know, I'm not good enough, or they're better, or why not me, and blah, blah, blah. And I just always have to get straight again with my higher power and just keep walking with him. Because, you know, my days can get very, very cluttered with outside stuff. And I forget very, very easily. So this is something that I'm working on, And I know that when I came in 20 years ago, it was not. I did not. And so this program is very progressive for me, where I have to be constantly growing and learning and seeing what else. What else can I do today to get closer to my higher power? And, you know, yes, I have to be abstinent, you know, and, you know, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, you know, is forefront. And but I have a chance today because a day at a time I'm, you know, working these steps and trying to stay close to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Devorah S. So, Stacy K., you are up next, followed by Dan.
Good morning, everybody. This is Stacy K. in Colorado, and I am a compulsive overeater. Yes, and I have that mind of a chronic compulsive overeater, for sure. And without my higher power and this program of action, you know, these steps, there wouldn't be any sanity in my life, for sure, you know, because the insane idea always won out before. The cool thing today is that, yes, I still have insane thoughts, and whether they be food thoughts or whether they be other thoughts, like some, you know, crazy idea, like I can control my kiddo or something, in some fashion. In some subtle way, but you know, they crop up, and I'm so grateful that I can see it. The tricky part for me is that, you know, things become a little bit more subtle, or maybe you're around a while, you have this great recovery, things are going really well, and you know, some of that sanity or some of that right thinking seems to come quite naturally, right? When we're working a good program and we're in fit spiritual condition. And then guess what my next thought is? I got this. I can do this. You know, that's, I don't want that idea to win out, because it seems like that idea has won out a lot. and so I got to continue for a lifetime, guys. I got to keep practicing, and sometimes I feel like I have to work that much harder every day that I'm around. And yeah, there was, seems to me there was something else I was going to say that was very profound. Anyway, I've forgotten what it is, so I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Stacy K. So Dan, you're up next, followed by Sandy W. And Dan, if I could get the first initial of your last name, please.
Hello, this is Dan, and I'm a compulsive eater from New York, and can you hear me? I've never done this before, and I'm just checking in.
Yes, I can hear you, okay. Dan, loud and clear. And mm-hmm. And what's the first initial of your last name, Dan?
M for M. Okay.
Okay, M for M. And, okay, thank you, Dan. Go ahead, please.
I'm in OA for 5 years, abstinent, lost 50 pounds, everything's fine, everything okay. But I live in an area which is remote from many meetings, and so I've been going to them, but they're difficult to get to, you know, the whole story. So I thought I'd give this a try, the online meetings, and see how that might work for me. So I'm just checking in. I don't want to share anything at the moment, but I'm just checking in and see how it works for me, and thank you all very much. So with that, nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, and thank you, Dan. And if you stay on, when the meeting ends after the recording, we'll be taking someone will be taking newcomers' names if you want some calls. So let's get your number, Dan. Okay, Sandy W., you are up next, followed by Rebecca B.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much, Kathleen, for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, I was really offended initially when this book tried to tell me that I was insane. You know, I had the logic in my mind that, you know, I held down a job, I raised a family, I ran a household. You know, I didn't fit that bill. I didn't fulfill what I understood as the definition of insane. But I love how it goes on to really tell me what that definition is, that I lack proportion and the ability to think straight, because I certainly know I fit that bill. You know, I also learned so much by using this book really as a textbook and studying it and understanding the twofold nature of my disease. Because, you know, as my family now lovingly calls me crazy, we still don't really use the word insane. You know, I think it truly is crazy that I go back to the food now that I know I have an allergy that causes me to crave it uncontrollably, even after I've put it down for any length of time, you know, that even once that physical craving is eliminated, my crazy mind takes me right back to the food. And time and time again, you know, no matter how many times I tell myself I will not do it again, I just continue to forget the physical and mental pain that each binge brought on, and or at least I'd forget it long enough to pick the food up and be back into that cycle over and over again. You know, it is crazy that my brain lacks the ability to hold on to those painful memories long enough to stop future episodes. But that's just as this paragraph states, I lack that proportion and that ability to think straight when left to my own devices. But, you know, that's also the beauty in this book and in the word insanity, because it tells me that there is a power that makes sane out of the insane. You know, I choose to call him God, and I am so grateful that I found him in this book. So now I really wear that label of insane gladly, because that power and this book and the steps, you know, have truly brought me back to the sane proportions and, you know, have restored that ability to think clearly. It's such a miracle, and I'm just so grateful to what I've learned from at this meeting and in this book, and just to the fellowship with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sandy W. Okay, before we take Rebecca B., just a reminder, we are on page 37, the first paragraph. We're commenting on that one paragraph only that begins with whatever the precise definition. And I'll be taking more names after Rebecca. So, Rebecca, if you could go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, this is Rebecca B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling today from St. Louis, normally from north of Boston, Massachusetts, and so grateful to be here. I just will say that this program and this meeting in particular has turned my life around. It's turned my recovery around. I had found recovery in other places for other things, but, you know, food was really for me the bottom line. It's what came earliest in my life, and what really drove me, it kept me insane for decades and decades and decades. And I just want to go back to the paragraph before for a moment in reference to what we're talking about here. This is, so, you know, Jim picks up this drink, right? I pick up the bite and, quote, vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart. So I love my higher power because my higher power gives me exactly what I need. I'm here staying at this bed and breakfast thing. And as some people might know, I'm not normally a bed and breakfast person, but bed and breakfasts, like, I don't know, cruises and other vacation things, like, love food, right? So I was really clear with the owners of my food requirements and what I could and couldn't eat and would need for breakfast. And God bless this wonderful woman. She really is great. But she just couldn't not have me eat a particular kind of a food, right? So she had found this particular kind, and it didn't have sugar in it, didn't have flour. It had these other things that I don't even know what they are. So, you know, and she just needed me, quote unquote, to eat this. And my insanity, no matter how many years I've been recovered from food, will buy into that, right, and say, oh, you're absolutely right. I can't possibly live without eating this particular food. And thank God for this program and recovery and this line, knowing that I was going to get on this line. I took my breakfast up to my room and sat in here and ate an abstinent breakfast that I know I can eat. And that I'm grateful to somebody who cares and thinks that they're being helpful. And mostly I'm grateful for the sanity to know that I know what foods I can and cannot eat and what foods trigger an allergy. And just because it's available or somebody tells me it's the new thing that you know, whatever, has these other substances. It's not true. And I don't have to be resentful, but I also don't have to walk into that insanity. So just so grateful to be here and grateful for recovery. Thank you so much. I pass.
And thank you, Rebecca B. Okay, who else would like to share on this first paragraph on page 37?
I'm Ruth G.
Jackie H.
Ruth G.
Ruth G.
Jackie H.
Sweet Amelia.
FF.
Okay. Sherry K.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Hold on. I
got Ruth G.
I got Ruth G, and I had Jackie H, and who were all the people that came in after that? I did hear Sherry K. B. at the end.
Danielle F.
Danielle
Deborah
F.
Deborah P.
There's so many. That's all right.
And Deborah P.
G. Yes. Freedom H.
What was the H? Freedom?
Yes.
Okay. Let's stop there. I'm sorry. So I have Ruth G., Jackie H., Danielle S., I believe it was, Deborah P., Sherry K. B., and Freedom H. So go ahead, Ruth G.
Hi, this is Ruth G. from Brooklyn, New York. Anyway, I just want to say that we're all doing service. Anybody who's sharing, that's service. And somebody who's leading the meeting, that's service also. And this program is a wonderful program. I'm in the program 46 years. And I got to a point where I could eat everything in moderation because it's only the emotions that set me off. But I can't say I'm recovered. But when I was in the program 10 years, I used to get up and say, I'm recovered. And I was so angry. I was angry that I had to watch my food. But for today, I don't have to watch my food. I give away a food plan every day. My sponsor calls me. And I try to keep, you know, the way it is. I mean, it's not perfect. Nothing is perfect in my life. I am not Miss Perfect, that's for sure. But I love this program, and I can't go to face-to-face meetings, so I have to go to, you know, phone meetings. And I can't always do that because I'm a very busy lady. I have a husband who is not feeling well, and I have a big house, and everything is a lot of work for me. But I am so grateful for this program, and it's a lot of insanity when you overeat. It's insanity. It is. But you got to think, why do you overeat? Why? And I used to have all kinds of excuses because I didn't want to face myself. But today I went to therapy for 26 years, and I know myself much more than I did when I first started 46 years ago. But it's a lot of work because every day I got to work on this program. I got to write. I got to read. I got to do exercise. I got to make calls. I got to call my sponsor. And it's a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Ruth G. So Jackie H., you're up next, followed by Danielle F.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and everybody else this morning. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Whew. I lack the ability to think straight. I wasn't going to share, and then all of a sudden this came to me. I grew up in, my mom and dad sent me to church, and then for 18 years I played the role of a pastor's wife, and so I was in the church, and I was surrounded by that kind of stuff. And then when I got my divorce, I didn't go to church anymore. And I used to get so angry when I would hear people say, I can't do anything without God. That just really turned me off. It pissed me off, actually, because we're bigger than that, right? We don't have to talk like that. And so here I am in this beautiful spiritual program. And you know what I say today? I can't think straight. If I am in my own ego, in where my ego runs right, because it will, I can't think straight. But when I lean in to my higher power, wow, do I have power. And it's not power of my own will, but I have the power of God that moves through me and moves me forward and gives me words to say. And when Sunday, we went and got a little ice cream with my little grandson, and he got this blackberry ice cream and he said, "Oh, this is so good. This is so good." And his little eyes were big. And I actually had this, the first thought was, because I used to have a bite once in a while of that. That's how I found myself back in the sugar and in the food. And that was my thought. But I immediately reminded myself, I don't eat sugar anymore and don't eat dairy either. But that was my ego. That was my first thought. That was my mental twist that said I could have just a lick of this beautiful, wonderful berry, right? But then the other part of me, that other voice, that God voice inside of me said, "No, I don't do that anymore." And immediately I was just flooded with the power that did not come from that ego, but it came from my higher power that drives me forward every day and that keeps me safe and keeps me sober and keeps me in love with this life and with the people in my life and with this program and with the people that I guide through this and with the service that I get to do. I just am delighted. I am delighted to be here. I'm delighted that I don't have to depend on Jackie anymore. I did that long enough and I don't have to do that anymore. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. So Danielle S., you're up next, followed by Deborah P.
Oh, I thought it was Danielle.
Danielle? Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought you said Deborah. I'm sorry. Hi, yes. This is Danielle F., and I am a very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I'm really happy to be able to get to a meeting today. I also would like to just say thank you to everybody at A Vision for You, because I've been in program for a really long time. This is at least almost half my life at this point. And I've been in a very small town, and nobody seems to notice if I go to meetings or not. And there's no OA around here. I go to other meetings. Whereas when I went to the first Vision for You, I can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten. So thank you all for that, because we really are in a small town. We're moving to a larger place, but right now, we are where we are. And the insanity part, so I'm pregnant, and I've shared that before, and I've got a couple months left. And in pregnancy, you have to gain weight. And I'm on a food plan, and I'm still gaining weight, which is very different than my usual food plan, which is to either helping to lose weight or to maintain my weight. And I am working on being okay with that. But the insanity for me is not the finagling in any way. I've been clear with my food. My husband actually asks me every time he prepares anything, what do I need? The finagling comes with, I don't have to eat as much today. Or, this is great. I get to eat less because I'm tired or whatever it is. And there's that mindset of wanting to cut off food again, because there's always this thing in my head that I should be losing weight. And that's scary for me, because I did that in a quite violent way for most of my younger self. And while I've been abstinent now for 8 years, and I have been abstinent from bulimia for 16, there's still that restricting mindset. And I've been working on getting to the core of that. And one thing that I have been doing, which is a thing, is giving myself permission. I have been actively saying with everything I do, I give myself permission to enjoy my day. I give myself permission to eat my food in a calm, collected manner, because we're trying to teach my daughter not to like just inhale food. She's little, 3 years old, and chipmunks things. And, you know, I did that for years. It was just like you didn't enjoy your food. You just ate it. There was no, you know, it wasn't nutrition. It was like something to just stuff. And, you know, she's 3 and I watch all these other little kids do it, but we're trying to institute something at home, which is called chewing, being mindful. And we don't think about these things. There are books. I kind of wish AOA had a book similar to the one from AA, which is like life skills. for people, you know, when you're getting abstinent, because, you know, the one that there is a Living Sober book, which is, you know, you get up in the morning and you take a shower or you clean your hair or you brush your teeth. Sometimes after being, I've been in recovery for that too. As an alcoholic, you know, I stopped doing things for myself. And then when I got into the food, I started having even, weirder things. And so I have to remind myself that I stay present with my food. I stay present in this program. I'm so grateful to all of you for existing because I can't do this on my own. So thank you. And I pass.
And thank you, Danielle F. Okay, Deborah P., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, everyone.
I'm sorry.
Deborah,
I've got Deborah P.
I'm Deborah G. Is there a Deborah P?
Yes.
I got Deborah G. Okay, and Deborah G, I'll try to get you at the end if we have time, okay? So hang in there. Go ahead, Deborah P.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Deborah P. out in Southern California, compulsive overeater. I just kind of wanted to check in and just get honest for a little bit because I know that everyone can relate. But and I love how we all know these expressions, but I was just completely off to the races and really messed up pretty badly. I mean, it's just embarrassing to the point where I was just completely, like, sick, and I am not bulimic. I was just, it was just the insanity that it was kind of just one of those moments, like, that I hope that I never forget. But so I want to get back on track, and I love this meeting. I appreciate so much everyone shares. It helps me a lot. And I guess I just kind of wanted to share that so I can try and get started again and, you know, get a sponsor and get into this book. And thank you everyone for listening. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Deborah P. So, Sherry KB. Go ahead, Sherry KB. Followed by Freedom H and Deborah G. I've got you at the end of this. So go ahead, Sherry K.
Do you have enough room for everybody, Kathleen? Because I'll skip.
You do? I do. Go right ahead. I think we'll be okay. We keep them maybe 2 minutes each if you can do it. Thanks.
How many? Two? Okay.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line. And, you know, I'll just jump right in here because listening to everybody, had to just jump on because, you know, I hear wonderful stories on the line with people of their definitions of insanity. And I just heard a particular person talk about insanity was a rationalization as giving a social acceptable reason for a socially unacceptable behavior. And I was like, where is he getting that from? And you know what? Sure enough, it's in a story on page 550, if anybody wants to look. It's in the first paragraph. And it talks about how insane I act, how I think irrationally around my food, and how I have an appalling lack of perspective when it comes to that kind of thing. And that because I'm a true compulsive overeater, that without a higher power, you know, my thinking, without working the steps, without living in 10, 11, and 12, without having the food down, I am insane. You know, I get crazy. And I'm listening to everybody, and I'm thinking about all the times that I had done crazy things for the decades in denial. A part of my insanity has been in the denial of that I was a true compulsive overeater. Because I would rationalize things in my mind, why I was doing things that made sense to me at the time. So that's the definition of my own insanity, the things that I would do, because I did have an appalling lack of perspective around the food idea and around the quantities that I ate and what I did with it. I mean, what insane person, there was a story quickly that this person had broken a leg, couldn't even get out of bed to go to the bathroom, but would get out of bed to go make pasta, stand on her leg
to boil water so she could eat pasta. How insane is that? That's one of our members, beloved members on this line, told us that story. And I have my own stories, and I'm sure you do too. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sherry KB. So Freedom H, you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Thank you so much for everyone who does service. I'm very thankful for the OA meeting. It doesn't matter what you call it. It definitely is insanity for me. I used to think that I could say a little prayer and God would just snap his fingers and do it all for me. But because of this 12-step program, I'm learning that I have to be humble and willing, and I have to take one step at a time. My higher power, God, is not a bully, and he will not force me to do anything. I have to be willing, and I have to be surrendered to him in order to receive the help that I want. He's not going to bully and force me like people have in my childhood. I need to be gentle. I need to be around gentle people with unconditional love that accepts me as I am, and I never had that until I found the OA 12-step program, and I know that there's a few genuine people out there out of every one person that's not. There's definitely people that are. And I'm very thankful for this program. With that, I'll mute. Thank you.
And thank you, Freedom H. Okay, Deborah G., go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. Thank you all for your shares today. Thanks for 12-stepping me this morning. And my insane mind recently, I really know that I can't do artificial sweeteners, but in separation from being separated from God, separation, and in my disease, I thought I could, which took me to other foods, which took me to the next day for a binge until finally I surrendered. When I surrendered, God's grace came in and awakened. And now I'm on step one, looking with a sponsor on step one, and continuing looking at my powerlessness and my manageability and God's saving grace. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Deborah G. And I have time for one more share since these guys all went so quickly. Would someone like to take the last share?
Hi, this is Maureen. I'd love to share.
Go ahead, Maureen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone, for your service. I just wanted to share that I've just been so blessed with just insight from the 12 steps and just, oh my goodness, just realizing today that I am not God and that I cannot control other people. And I just had such an awareness that behind the guise of being helpful and of trying to help my adult children, and I'm teaching them wisdom and showing them where they're making mistakes and I'm preventing them from losing things and making a mistake, it wasn't anything at all about that. It was my need to feel okay, my need to have like peace and serenity, and everything that I'm supposed to get from my higher power was actually the motives behind those behaviors of trying to play God. Someone shared with me in the program that when we do that, we're actually like boxing with God and actually just punching the air, because obviously we can't actually box with God. He's just watching us lovingly, and we're not affecting anything. We're not making any change. We're just punching the air for hours and hours and hours and hours. And he's lovingly just watching us, waiting for us to stop and to say, okay, you know, God, you're in charge. I'm not. And I just have such peace and serenity, kind of like just giving, not giving up, but giving it to my higher power, like everything. I'm surrendering everything to him. And my desire to fix people and to control things is the same motivation that would drive me to the food. It's underlying the same issue. I have to feel okay. I have to fix everything. I have to make sure that everything is okay. That unsettledness, that desire to, okay, I have everything all set now, so I'm okay, is the same motivation that would draw me to the food. And I'm just so grateful for the awareness of that today. And I can place all these things in God's hands because I am not God. And I also can't change God's will for someone else. So if I think I'm going to try to do that, I'm not that powerful. Someone shared that with me. I'm not powerful enough to change God's will for someone. So behind the guise of being helpful, right, is our desire to change their circumstances and change their trajectory of their life and prevent them from making a big mistake that's going to change God's will for them. I can't change God's will for anybody, even though I may love them to the moon and back. So I'm just grateful for this program, grateful for these rooms, and grateful for you. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Maureen. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Monday, Shelley E., Cindy K., Darian K., Jordan L., Sandy W., Kaylee R., and Kathy Jo P. Thank you for being Team Monday and doing service this morning, and thank you everyone who shared on the line. And please stay on the line after the Serenity Prayer so we can meet newcomers and hear important announcements. And you can get some sponsor's name at that time, too. So if you'd all like to press star 1 to unmute so we can say this. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I think I forgot something. Hold on. Jordan L., would you say the page 164 of the vision for you, please?
Yes. Good morning. Excuse me. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us. May God bless you and keep you until then.